flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Well, my friends, if you want content, we've got content. Hello and welcome to another episode of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Matt Bove, Sal Capaccio, getting you ready for the Bills-Broncos wild card weekend matchup, not super wild card weekend, Sal.
No, I noticed that last week. Now, the Bills did tweet out when the matchup was set, super wild card game, like as part of the graphic. But I don't think the league is actually referring to it as super wild card weekend anymore. I thought that was kind of strange when it started coming out from all the different communication from the NFL. I like it just wild card weekend. I think they're just saving super for Super Bowl.
Exactly. So yesterday we did, we're recording this on Wednesday. The Bills are having a walkthrough today. We just finished hearing from Sean McDermott minutes ago as we're recording this. Yesterday we posted our episode with Mark Schlereth. That was a good conversation if you want to go check out things more from the Denver side of things. But I feel like the big takeaway, at least for me today, is that Amari Cooper is back. We've gotten a lot of questions, a lot of comments about Amari Cooper. He was excused for a personal reason for the last several days. He didn't even travel to New England with the team, but he is back in the building and all signs to, hey, he's going to be ready to go this weekend.
Yeah. So two things. Number one, the Mark Schlereth podcast, I tweeted out a clip of him talking about the MVP, and oh boy, are Ravens fans mad. So check that out. You can check out the entire episode. It's very interesting. Okay. So interesting. You said that. I was never too concerned about Amari. It just seemed like Sean McDermott was kind of leaning towards, yeah, he'll be back at some point. But, you know, you want to make sure everything's good, obviously, on a personal level. My big takeaway from Sean McDermott today is they could be without Brandon Codrington on Sunday. And Brandon Codrington is number 4 in the NFL in yards per return, yards per punt return. The number 1 guy in the league is on the other side of the field Sunday. That's Marvin Mims. Mm-hmm. The Bills and Broncos, Matt, rank 1 and 2 in the NFL in starting field position, where they start in the field. The Bills are number 1 at 33.4, the 33.4 yard line. The Broncos are number 2 at the 32.5 yard line. A lot of that is these guys and what they can do in the return game. Beyond the fact of how much it impacts the actual field position, I don't know what the Bills' answer is behind Brandon Codrington and what they would do.
Well, in the kickoffs, I think it's pretty simple. In the kickoffs, I think it would be Ty Johnson and Ray Davis. That's just my guess. In the punts, in the punt aspect, that's where I would be a little curious to see what they do. I really don't know what the plan would be. Now, we do want to say it's a walkthrough. It's Wednesday. There is a chance Brandon Codrington returns later this week.
It is a hamstring injury, so everybody knows.
But with hamstring injuries, it always seems to linger a little bit. When he told us hamstring injury, when I'm talking about Sean McDermott, when he said that on the Zoom call on Monday, I almost started operating like they're going to be without Codrington this weekend, just because hamstring injuries always seem to linger. So there are a couple different things that I think they might try, but I don't exactly know what the answer is.
All right, so here's your options, basically, all right? You could put, if let's just say Codrington does not play. Let's hope he does. If he doesn't play, you could put Khalil Shakir back there as a guy. Okay, you know you can trust him. He can return. He's better than a better returner than people give him credit for. He's not just a punt catcher, but he's also your starting slot receiver. Do you really want to put him in that position? You could elevate KJ Hamler from the practice squad, if that's an option. You also have a guy named Micah Hyde, who's been your safety punt catcher over the last several years.
Yeah, I think because you were in the playoffs, you need to go with the safest play. And to me, that is Khalil Shakir. And I understand that that comes with the added potential risk of him getting hurt while returning a punt or a kick or whatever it happens to be. I think that's just the risk that you have to live with.
Could also have him just tell him fair catch it all the time, right? Yeah. You are going to lose out on the yardage. I get that. Mm-hmm. But what is the risk involved there is your point, and I agree with that.
Yeah, and I think that you just want somebody sure-handed because in the playoffs, the name of the game, of course, field position helps, but it's making sure you do not turn the ball over. And with KJ Hamler, you might have a little bit of boom or bust there. Maybe he breaks off one, but maybe he lets one slip through his hands, and then all of a sudden you turn it over and you give the Broncos incredible field position. That, to me, is a way bigger risk than a potential injury happening to Khalil Shakir. And I know the level of player that he is and how much he means to the offense, but I think I would just go with him and just, you know, hope that he does not get hurt. And you tell him, like, hey, if you got a lot of room, feel free to take it. If not, either let it go into the end zone or fair catch it and don't even bother.
All right. I agree. He's a very big part of the offense. We all know that, but even maybe more so in this game. One of the interesting stats that's been coming out over the last couple of days, Matt, is the Broncos linebackers are not the best in coverage. They've given up a lot of yards to running backs out of the backfield. That could also be tight ends. Could be Khalil Shakir in the slot, which would be huge for the Bills, obviously. I think that's got to be a big part of this week's game plan. Running backs out of the backfield, especially against a team that is pretty much 6th, 7th in the league as far as blitz percentage. They're going to bring heat. You got to get rid of the ball quick if you're Josh Allen. They get to the quarterback at historic level, 63 sacks on the year. Mm-hmm. I think we're looking at a game where you're looking maybe just dump down and then get yards and keep the chains moving.
Yeah, it's interesting because you want to get the ball out of Josh Allen's hand fast. But for the running backs to be as dangerous as they have been, you almost need the play to break down, right? I think everybody thinks of the Detroit game. It's probably the best, you know, evidence of look how dangerous the running backs can be. But most of those were on plays that broke down. Josh Allen rolling to his right, finding Ty Johnson. Josh Allen rolling to his left and finding James Cook on a crazy play. There are a couple like wheel routes that they've done with Ty Johnson that have been really effective. But yeah, I mean, I think that those are the guys who could be game changers in this game. And I think that that's a big advantage for the Bills because they have three backs who they feel like they can use in a lot of different situations. So yeah, I think that they're going to play a factor, but at the same time, like, eat the middle of the field. Khalil Shakir, I feel like this could be a Dalton Kincaid game. Find those mismatches, find space, and just methodically move the ball down the field.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. Now, remember, in that Detroit game, as you said, a couple wheel routes. One of them was that fourth down. That was especially, hey, you got that in your back pocket. You pull that out when it comes time. Maybe there's a couple of plays like that. Okay, let me ask you this. Since the matchup was set, and I mean officially set, I know we've been kind of trending towards this. We're sitting here on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Do you feel better or worse about the matchup in game than at that point?
You know, that's a
for the Bills.
It's a fascinating question. It was actually just something I talked about with Mike Catalano from Buffalo Plus and 13 Wham in Rochester, because the more I consume as just a consumer of content, I think the more skeptical I am about the matchup in particular, because I feel like a lot of people really like this Broncos team. That said, the more I put my football hat on and just think about the actual matchups themselves, I think there is a chance for the Bills to have a lot of success in this game. So it's interesting because I feel like if you listen to the narratives out there, you would feel like, man, this is a tough draw for the Bills. If you take the, okay, but what about what they do well and what the Broncos are good at defending? Mm-hmm. Hey, maybe there's more opportunities here for the Bills offense than we are giving them credit for or that we think. So I would say I feel about the same. But I do feel like there are mismatches the Bills could take advantage of in this game.
As the week goes on, I've felt a little bit better for those very same reasons. I think the way that I've kind of felt about it is the Broncos can definitely give you problems, especially with their pass rush, with Marvin Mims. You know, Bo Nix can run the ball. Uh-huh. But I think they kind of have to play at their top level to do that. Like, yeah, they have to play their best game to really have this really great chance to beat the Bills. I don't think anything less than that would really be enough to beat the Bills, who I don't think have to play their best game to win. They got to play good. They can't play a bad game, but I don't think they have to play their best game to beat the Broncos. I think the Broncos have to kind of play, all those facets have to be clicking.
Yeah, the biggest concerns that I have are not really tied to the offense. I know the Broncos' defense is great. I know their defensive line gets after it. I know Patrick Surtain is an absolute difference maker. My concerns are the third down defense for the Bills, which is going to be something a lot of people are talking about this week, and rightfully so. That would probably be my biggest concern. And then I guess my second biggest concern is if they're going to keep a spy on Josh Allen, right? Like they have to.
Most likely, I think, in some capacity, yeah.
That if Josh can't get out of the pocket and make things happen with his legs, they will need guys to separate. And I don't know how much I trust this group. You know, you see all the charts, right? And people use them as evidence for Josh Allen to win MVP. It's like, look at how his guys separate compared to some of the other players in the NFL. The Bills wide receivers do not separate like at all.
Why it's part of the reason they do see a lot of man-to-man.
Yeah.
They also see a lot of man-to-man because of what Joe Brady does to kind of get teams to react to that. I think that's something that's happening, but that is part of it. Like they see, hey, we're going to man you up. And we're going to bet that these guys can't separate, and then we're going to get to your quarterback. And, of course, with this team, they can get to the quarterback. But here's the trick. If you play man-to-man defense, what happens? You turn your back to Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. He's out the door, and I think the Broncos have to be very aware of that.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why, to me, the more you talk about the matchups and you start to feel a little bit more optimistic about the outlook for the Bills, I feel like there are opportunities to be had in the middle of the field, like you talked about, with the linebackers, with getting the running backs involved, like we saw against Detroit, like we've seen in some other games this year. The other thing that, for me, stands out is that we talked about this with Shalareth yesterday. The Broncos don't run the ball incredibly well. Right. Yeah. And I feel like if the Bills can kind of focus on getting to the quarterback, making Bo Life's Nick's, making Bo Nix's life more complicated, I feel like those third down defensive struggles might not be as big of an issue this week.
Agreed. You heard earlier this week, Bobby Babich talking about making a team one-dimensional. You always want to do that. What that means is making them like you're up on them. They have to throw. They're one-dimensional. So what? If they're going to run the ball, it's not going to kill you. What the Broncos want to do is put themselves in manageable situations for their rookie quarterback. And the way to do that is make sure that you don't let their running game get off because it hasn't been very good. If they start to do that, now suddenly they're going to put themselves in manageable situations. But if the Broncos get to the second quarter and go, man, we just can't run the ball. Well, guess what? Now you're dropping them back on first and 10. An incompletion becomes second and 10. Now that pass rush starts to gear up, and I think that's where, you know, the Bills can try and take advantage.
I also, and I go back to this conversation we had with Baldinger, and I've said this on a couple podcasts before. He is convinced that Von Miller saved all of it for the playoffs. Like, absolutely convinced. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it's funny because you watch him go out on the field for one snap against the Patriots and get a sack. And you go, okay, like, maybe you should just incentivize his sacks for the entire playoffs. Of like, Von, every time you get a sack, we'll give you $1 million. And if you get a sack in, like, a big moment, we'll give you $2 million. But I do think that, like, he could potentially be a difference maker. This is against his former team.
I think it's a big deal.
So I feel like to him, and when they played them last year, they lost. And I think that that also works in the favor of the Bills because I feel like they are incredibly mindful of what went wrong in that game.
All right, so I'm glad you brought that up. I went back and rewatched that game a little bit, and I don't know if you how much of that game you remember. I'm sure it might be quite a bit.
I remember James Cook fumbling the first touch of the entire game.
First play of the game. And do you also remember the Bills took the ball? They actually won the toss and took the ball. Mm-hmm. And they handed it to James Cook. He's wrapped up. I mean, they were yanking and pulling. Mm-hmm. He drops the ball. Later in the game, another fumble on an exchange from Josh Allen to James Cook gives the ball to the Broncos. Before that, Josh throws a bullet off Gabe Davis's hands, gets tipped, gets intercepted. Three turnovers later, James dropped another one, but it bounced right back up to him and he had a long run.
Yeah.
This is the formula for the Broncos. I'm telling you, they're going to come after the football. Yeah. They want to force Josh into a mistake. Josh, you know, strip sack, something like that. They are going to try and be raking the football out of Buffalo Bills' hands. I mean, this is the formula for them. Let's remember, this is a Super Bowl winning coach who opened up with an onside kick in the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. right? You have to expect anything from a team playing with house money in the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and that, I think, goes back to the fear that some people have, right? Of like, okay, a underdog runs faster. And maybe that's the mindset of the I have said all week, it is an excruciating week if you're a Bills fan because there's no upside. It's a game you're supposed to win, and it's a game you almost have to win. Right. And if you don't, it is going to be a colossal failure in a massive missed opportunity. So for the Bills, it's like, okay, we're trying to get to where we're trying to get to. For the Broncos, it's like, hey, we got to the playoffs. Like, let's go be a spoiler. Let's go beat this team and then go back to Kansas City, a team that we think we can beat in Arrowhead, and see if we can go on a run. So listen, the Bills are the better football team. I truly believe that the Bills are the more talented, better football team. They need to have, though, a good day. If they have a bad day, that's when you can start to see the Broncos, you know, really get a win.
And as you said, with the Broncos, you know, they're kind of, you know, they're trying to play spoiler. if they lose this game, that's a good season for them, right? I mean, this rookie quarterback, they're over under in Vegas, like five and a half, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I just think back to, it's a little bit of the drought ending Bills, but it's more of the 2019 Bills to me. It feels like this team is good, but they're going to get better. You like what you have at the quarterback. You like what you have at some of the skill positions, but you know that needs to improve to get to where you're trying to go. I think back to that. Now, the difference was that loss to Houston was so demoralizing because the Bills had a lead. The Bills were up 16-0 in that game. So the Broncos, like, if they come in here and they put up a good fight, I would imagine most Broncos fans are content with the season that their team had. Of course, when you get there, you want to keep winning. If the Bills lose this game, Bills fans will be out of their they will lose their mind.
It'll be open season on Sean McDermott starting on Monday on radio programs and podcasts and all those kinds of things. All right, something I've been banging the drum on also, we have to be very aware. I just brought him up a little while ago when we were talking about Brandon Codrington. The Broncos will look for an edge in special teams. The Bills have not been very good in special teams at parts to times this year. They've had mistakes. Whether that be in coverage or with personnel on the field and things like that. This is an all-pro return man and a team in the Broncos coming on the road that will say, let's try to do something to get an edge in special teams. They better be aware of that, Matt.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I would almost just, if they can, play it safe. Kick it out of the back of the end zone. Kick it into the end zone on punts. Let them take it over where they take it over.
I even wonder about fakes, like a fake field goal, a fake punt. I think that could be something they could do.
For sure. I mean, when you're the underdog, I mean, they are an 8.5-point underdog in this game. They are going to do something. And this will happen, though, as the game moves on. Like, we talk about Sean Payton, the first snap in the second half of the Super Bowl. You know, you're trying to make a spark. You're trying to get back into a game. I think that this is a very normal, clean game in the first half. And then depending on what the score is, like, they're not going to do that if they're winning. Right. If it's the third quarter and they're up 20-17, they're not going to do that. Right. They're going to do that if they need a spark or if they need to try and get back into the game. And that's where the Bills, you have to stomp them back into the ground. If you get that opportunity and really kind of get out in front, it's a little bit like what we saw last year against the Steelers. The Bills were up 21-0 in that game. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they really took that game over, and the Steelers tried to claw their way back into it, but just never really could. I feel like the game script here, of course you want to get out to a lead, but because of their inability to really effectively run the ball, if you don't, it's not the end of the world.
All right, a couple house cleaning items as we roll on into the week. Joe Brady, now we think it's been four teams that have requested interviews with Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. We also learned today, according to various reports, Bills director of player personnel Terrence Gray has been requested by the Tennessee Titans for their vacant head coaching job, at least to be interviewed by them. So this is the season for that. I get a lot of people who get very upset, who tell me all the time, how can the league do this? They had to make these guys wait. Look, I mean, it's such a tough thing to do, though, because you have to take it from the side also of the organization that needs to hire somebody. The Bills have been in this position many times, Matt, hiring head coaches, which is, if you make them wait until the Super Bowl to interview these people, well, guess what? Jobs start drying up, assistants start drying up, and you got to get your offseason program in place. I respect it. I respect and understand. And I know the Bills tried to change the rule in some capacity a couple of years ago that, you know, maybe it's a little bit tough and unfair with these guys doing interviews while they're in the playoffs, but it's also kind of unfair to them to not give them that opportunity.
You want to, it's almost like the incentive thing that we talked about last week, where you want to give the people in your building the chance to improve their careers, and other people see that and then want to be part of it. They don't, like, look at what's happening in Dallas, right? Where they block Mike McCarthy from taking an interview in Chicago.
Well, he is the head coach under contract. It is a little different.
His contract expires today.
So then they can't block him anymore, correct?
Literally today. So it's interesting because so much of it is culture based. Now, I do think that, like, okay, if the Bills win this game, Joe Brady's probably going to take an interview or two next week. And is that ideal?
It's got to be virtual, by the way. Just so everybody knows, next week he can only interview virtually, and then they have to wait to bring him in after the Bills season is over, essentially, or the week, I believe, after the championship round.
Is it ideal? No, but I think it's just the reality of the situation, and it's what the Bills tried to prevent from happening with a proposed rule that got voted down.
All right, and then real quickly here, let's just let me ask you your thoughts on these games as we wrap up for the next minute or two. It's interesting. All the AFC games will be played before all the NFC games, right? The two AFC games are going on Saturday, Chargers, Texans, Steelers, Ravens. So we'll know what the Bills' fate is if they do win the game against the Denver Broncos, meaning if the Steelers upset the Ravens, they are going to Kansas City, and the Bills play the winner of the Chargers, Texans game.
Yeah.
If the Ravens win, the Baltimore Ravens would come to Buffalo. What are your thoughts on the Saturday games as you sit here?
I think the Chargers are going to beat the Texans, and I think the Ravens are going to dismantle the Steelers, honestly. I know the Steelers have had some success against the Ravens. I just feel like that's a sinking ship a little bit. I don't think they really have an NFL offense. Maybe I'm wrong. I just don't see it happening. I think the Ravens are maybe the team with the highest ceiling in the NFL right now. And that doesn't mean that they're the best team in the NFL, but I think when their offense is humming and their defense is getting better, they are a very tough team to beat. So we'll see how it ultimately plays out. But if you were a Bills fan, just focus on the Broncos for right now. Start to think about the future. Start to think about other potential matchups after the game against the Broncos has come to an end. You don't want to put the cart before the horse.
Of course not.
Right? Right? And I know that's just in the natural way of thinking, right? So
I'm just setting up so everybody knows and understands how those games fall determines what would happen to the Bills if they were to win. The thing that stinks about how this all shook out, look, it would be great to see the Steelers upset the Ravens. Oh, my God, the Ravens are out. But that means the Steelers go to Kansas City, and I think they would get blown out.
It doesn't matter. And I know what I just said. It does not matter. You want to give yourself the easiest or most favorable.
So Bills fans should be rooting for their Steelers no matter what. Absolutely. Even though you don't give them much of a chance to beat Kansas City. I agree.
Absolutely.
I thought about this while I was washing my hair this morning in the shower. I thought the same thing, and I agree with you 100%.
Absolutely. Get yourself to the most favorable. You do not care about – because – what if that doesn't happen? If the Ravens beat the Steelers and if the Bills beat the Broncos, all of a sudden the Ravens come to town. You're if you lose that game, you don't care if Kansas, you know what I mean?
Like, that's 100% you don't care.
So for me, it's a no-brainer.
Survive in advance.
And maybe like something weird happens the next weekend too. Something, that's the thing that I think is kind of lingering in the back of my head. Something weird will happen. Every single year it does. Every single year, a team that we don't expect to lose ends up losing. And if you were a Bills fan, you were just hoping that you were not the team that comes up on the wrong end of that. You know what my take is?
What? What's your take?
I think the Rams beat the Vikings. I don't think.
Oh, I could see it.
I think the Rams are good. I think the Rams are good enough to go to the Super Bowl, legitimately. I think that that – I know you just winced a little bit. I think
I guess on their best day they are. I think they got to play a lot of good football over the next few weeks to be able to do that, though.
I don't disagree for sure. But, I mean, I think right now the best teams playing this weekend in the entire NFL, I think, are the Bills, the Eagles, and the Ravens in any particular order. I think I would have probably put the Vikings there, but I could see the Rams at home winning a track meet against the Vikings. I really could.
All right. Well, that game is the last game of the weekend. That's Monday night. On Sunday, it's Packers at Eagles right after the Bills and Broncos game, and then Commanders at Buccaneers. I know, I think you said the other day, like, that's a bad Sunday night game. I don't disagree aesthetically. I do think it's going to be maybe a fun game, though.
Yeah, it's the second worst game of the weekend. The worst game of the weekend, probably from just like a straight viewership standpoint, would probably be Texans-Chargers, the AFC South Invitational, baby, on Saturday afternoon. Yes. And it's they're two fun quarterbacks with C.J. Stroud and with the Chargers. It's just the way the Texans have been playing. So, like, I think that game, I think the Chargers are going to win. And, you know, that sets up a potential matchup.
You got Eagles, you got Buccaneers. What do you got?
If Jalen Hurts plays, I got Eagles and
Commanders at Buccaneers. That could be a really high scoring game.
I don't know. I'm not so quick to say Bucks. Okay. I think Tampa, but I like Jaden Daniels a lot.
Yeah, me too.
It's fun.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough spot for him. A rookie quarterback again going on the road. Another rookie quarterback going on the road here in the playoffs. Add Jaden Daniels to Bo Nix, of course, this week. All right. Thanks a lot to our producer, Mike Robbie. Always doing a great job backstage. We're down here at One Bills Drive. We're going to go out to practice in a little while. Well, they're going to have a walkthrough. We'll talk with the players. Then another practice on Thursday, and we'll have more of an update, you know, as we go forward here.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll try and do, you know, one more of these as we get closer to the weekend, whether we get a guest from Denver or the two of us just chit-chat. Obviously, we know there's no such thing as too much content as we're at this point in the playoffs. So hopefully we've got several more weeks of these podcasts when we're actually talking about games to come.
All right. Thanks a lot for joining us today. And it's always game day in Buffalo. Always listen to us wherever you pod. It does not matter. We are on that platform. And of course, watch us on the Sal Sports YouTube page. Subscribe at Sal Sports.